Welcome to part two of our conversation with Duraine Fisher. Does quantum... I'm not super educated on quantum physics. Obviously,
well,
the topic... Yeah. The topic has come up on the air a gazillion times. And, you know, so that's my knowledge is just the things that I've learned from our guests over the last 10 years. But I haven't done a lot of research myself on it. Would that also play into kind of those deja vu feelings or those feelings of being watched? Is that almost like those moments where maybe somehow we kind of slipped off the track a little bit of our own timeline? And then we're creating these feelings, and then it kind of gets corrected. It's like watching a television show, and you notice, wait a second, the audio and the video are a little bit off, and it just drives you nuts. And then sometimes you just got to reset it, and then okay, everything's back to normal.
I definitely do. And feelings of deja vu. You ever heard of the Mandela effect?
Yes.
People remember events differently, you know, and they, you know, they might have been in a slightly different dimension or something. You just wonder, you remember something distinctly from your past, and you're almost positive that this is how it was, but then it wasn't. You know, you'll look at a picture of it, and it's like, wait a minute, I know it was that.
Sure.
But the picture is showing me something different, you know, and you're like, kind of perplexed, I'm sure it was that, but...
And there's an interesting thing with that I've noticed, and I've actually been thinking about over the last couple of weeks, because, you know, you get the Mandela effect posted links, and most of the time it's the same 20, you know, things we all look at over and over and over. But I've noticed lately is that generationally, it seems like some of the quote-unquote Mandela effect things from, like, the last 10, 15 years, I'm not like surprised by, or I'm not confused by. I'm like, no, of course I knew it was that. But the things that were more from 20, 30 years ago into my childhood and youth, that those are the ones that I go, yeah. You know, like remembering the guy running over by the tank in Tiananmen Square of Nelson Mandela being killed. There's a lot of things back then that I almost wonder, like, was that just a childhood especially today, kids just not, you know, paying attention as closely as you should? Because I don't know, like some of these look like they're like Sex and the City. That was one that keeps coming up. I've always known it was Sex and the City. I never thought it was Sex in the City. And apparently that's a big one for a lot of people.
Yeah, I agree with you.
But some of the other ones. So I'm almost wondering if the Mandela effect is one of those things where, you know, it kind of came up and it was, you know, our generation or so that kind of started talking about this. But then as we get older, we're looking at it. And I swear to God, when it's always something of the last 15 ish years, not at all was I confused by what people are confused by.
Right. Exactly. Me either. But, you know, I mean, they could be experiencing parallel realities. I mean, it's really only a matter of consciousness. I mean, perception and consciousness. It's not... there's nothing difficult about being in parallel realities. There's nothing difficult about traveling in between dimensions. It's all consciousness. It's a state of vibration, basically. And, you know, we can get into quantum physics pretty deep here, but I mean, if you study quantum physics a little bit, all these hauntings and other things get slightly less complicated, because it's like, okay, this can really happen, and it could happen scientifically speaking. So, you know, if we are creating our reality all the time, you know, we can create just about anything. Mm-hmm. And they say that we are creating our entire experience at every moment, and that we haven't known that we could control it, but we're starting to learn that we have a little bit of more control over it. So, you know,
well, let me ask you about that to try and understand that better. So we're creating our reality, I guess, on a simplistic level. I understand that, because I'm like, yeah, I believe we have our own free will, and we can do whatever we want, and whatever we're going to do is going to then, you know, cause an effect down the road based on the decisions we're making at this moment. So what am I missing on that is more in the quantum physics level?
Okay, more on the quantum physics level is your state of mind creates your reality.
Okay.
The state of mind that you are in determines what will happen on your exterior world.
Okay, so we're almost going back to like the mood thing where, yeah. Okay, so your attitude essentially.
Your attitude is everything.
Okay.
And you remember hearing that? Well, that is the truth.
Yeah.
Your attitude is everything. If you are messed up on the inside, your whole world is going to be messed up on the outside.
Uh-huh.
So basically getting your put together
sure.
is what's going to create a better reality. And once you realize that, everything changes and you start to understand that quantum physics is real and it gives you a different perspective on things like hauntings and these kind of spooky things that happen.
Yeah. And it's not just speaking on like having positive, you'll attract positive people. You're negative, you'll attract negative people.
Although that's true.
That's true too. But you're saying it's more so like existential things that will then kind of come to you or be attracted to you, not, you know, things that have nothing to do with another human being going, oh, they're nice, you know, or hey, they're an asshole. It's just life will kind of go in a certain direction based on the attitude you have. Doesn't that also then fall into, you know, the religion theories and all of that where, you know, basically have faith in this entity or this deity and good things will come to you? Isn't that kind of the same sort of thinking, if you will?
What do you mean exactly?
Like the theories in many religions, the more you give, the more you will get, essentially. Necessarily like, you know, I'm giving this to there's not a purpose. You don't have any clear idea how you're going to get it in return. And it might not be money. It might not be this. It just might be genuine happiness. It might be relationships and things of that nature. It almost is, you know, it's kind of operationally the same sort of idea.
Yeah, it is. Like attracts like. I mean, if you treat everybody like crap, basically, guess what you're going to get back?
Sure.
I mean, the energy you project is what you get back, but gratitude and appreciation are the best vibration you can be in. It's all about vibration.
And that's interesting. I want to ask you, when you first started saying, I want to learn more about quantum physics, this is intriguing. What were the things that brought you to it? What were some of the things that you were looking for and some of the things that you first learned that surprised you?
I started hearing gurus, people talking about how I was creating it myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, well, that's just silly. I wouldn't do that. I was having bad experiences of everything. And I wanted to understand why I was creating it, if that's what was happening.
Yeah.
And if that's the case, if I'm creating all this terrible stuff that's happening to me, and if I'm doing it, then that means that I have control over it and I can make better stuff happen to me.
Okay.
I can create good stuff. So that was really what it was.
So what did you do in your life to really, you know, believe this, to have that change happen?
Like I said, how much time do you have?
We still got a good, 10, 15 minutes to hear your life story.
Oh, you want to hear my life story, but I was a person who had very, very severe depression. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had terrible depression. It was the kind that kept me in bed. I couldn't work.
Sure.
I was sick all the time. It was really horrible.
Okay.
And that's when I had a lot of experiences that probably led up to how happy I am now.
Okay.
Except it was a bad time.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you about angels and demons, okay?
Yeah, let's hear.
All right. In that time when I was depressed, I was really bad. And I didn't know what I was going to do about it. I was just at a loss. I just didn't know what else to do about it. And I was at home. My husband was in the living room. I walked into my bedroom and I had both of my hands on the dresser. I was looking in the mirror thinking, you know, what the hell am I going to do for the rest of my life like this?
Yeah.
Anyway, I lit a candle on my dresser there because it always seemed to make me feel better. I didn't know why at the time. But I lit the candle and I'm just kind of staring at the candle, feeling pretty miserable. And something reached around me and gave me a hug. And it was the warmest hug I have ever had in my life. And it felt very, very comforting to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't explain that. I have told people the story and they said, well, that was an angel. I'm like, I don't know what it was, but it was really nice. It was like, yeah, it's going to be okay kind of feeling.
Yeah.
And that pretty much changed my whole attitude about what was happening to me. I'm like, you know, this is not acceptable. I'm going to do something about this. So I basically went off all the drugs they were trying to give me, and I tried to deal with it myself. Started meditating, doing all these things to try and help myself. And it steadily got better. But what you don't understand is that, like, you're going on this spiritual journey. You're kind of on a walkabout after that.
Yeah.
And as you go up the spiritual ladder, things start happening to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll experience negative entities. And when I was driving to work or home from work one day, I felt this really, really negative energy in the car with me. It was like the worst thing I had ever felt in my life. It was just felt like, ick, you know, it's just like, oh, this is awful. Get this away from me. Anyway, it felt like it was starting to surround me. I was driving,
yeah,
mind you.
Yeah.
And I'm getting a little overwhelmed. And then I realize I'm running off the road and I'm running into traffic and all this. And I'm trying to deal with this thing that I didn't know what it was. I was basically talking to it. I don't know what made me think I needed to talk to it, but I was talking to it, you know, telling it to get the hell away from me. And it was making this sound. Now, this is when I realized I was clairaudient. It was making this sound like a rattling, hissing noise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget that sound. But anyway, I stopped the car. Luckily, I was able to stop the car. There was a place to pull over. But I'm just kind of waving this thing out of my face. It was just the strangest thing I've ever experienced in my life. I just felt like it was trying to kill me, but there was nothing there. I didn't see anything. And finally, it stopped, but it's hard to remember the details because I was kind of in an adrenaline rush at that point, but it finally left me alone. But I don't know what it was. And I've talked to other people and they're like, well, maybe it was a demon. I'm like, don't you see demons? Isn't that, you know, the whole idea of demons? Don't you see them? And people have told me not necessarily. You can feel them, you can hear them, things like that. So I don't know what that was all about, but that was the last worst experience I had. I've had other things happen to me, but once you are trying to climb the spiritual ladder, you're trying to get there, it seems like there are things trying to stop you.
I was just going to ask you my question. Did it feel like you're trying to pull yourself out of this negative situation?
Yes.
and a negative mindset? And that takes some work. And I know you said that you got off the drugs that they were trying to give you. And in no way am I suggesting someone gets off the drugs that they're prescribed. Stay on them. Only get off of them with a proper, you know, if that's what you want to do, because sometimes you need those things to kind of get you kind of going or maintain, depending on what's going on with yourself.
But it gets you through the worst of it until you can figure it out.
Yes, I'm very pro that. I mean, and it's benefited me through some dark times myself.
Yes, I understand.
But it's a two-pronged thing to have those sort of things help. But at the same point, you have to do the work too. And putting that work in and really realizing this is not good. I got to kind of work this. I got to do something better. That's where you kind of went on that journey and you're trying to climb out of it. So do you think that being in that kind of depressed state initially or for a period of time that there were some things that kind of latched on to you, kind of followed you around and tried to keep you there?
Yeah, I really do think so, yes. And I think that until you get, and this is why they call them your demons.
Yeah.
Until you get your demons worked out, you know, you get your issues, mm-hmm. work through all of your issues. And I'm talking about every single one of your issues, because if you don't deal with them, they will come up in the form of something like what I was describing. Not all, sometimes.
Are our demons something that is literally a separate entity other than ourselves or our energy or our souls that have their own goals in mind for us? Or are they the reflection of the worst parts of ourselves that haunt us?
From my experience, from my personal experience, and I've had a lot of experience with this, let me tell you.
Yeah.
I really think that they come from our negative emotions, honestly. And that, now, I want to make it clear, because people are going to call me out on this. I want to make it clear that that doesn't mean that these things are any less real or any less dangerous. And I don't want to invalidate anyone's experience of them, because real, things that are real... The definition of real is a little bit different than what people think it is. If you felt something, you experienced something scary, horrible, it was real. I don't care whether if you didn't see anything or not, it was real. You don't have to see something, measure, weigh it, dissect it, you know, for it to be real. That's what people don't understand a lot of the time. They think that for something to be logical, it has to be something that you can weigh and measure and dissect and catalog. You know, in order for it to be real, it has to be all those things. That's not true. We have to come to understand that psychic experiences are just as real as physical experiences. If we don't start to understand that, we're not going to evolve in any way whatsoever. We're not going to learn anything new. We're not going to solve the mystery of all these paranormal experiences if we don't open up our minds and say, you know, this was a real experience I had. I don't care what anybody says. It was real. And let's try to figure out how it happened, how this could scientifically take place. Am I making sense?
Yes, you are.
I mean, you know, the experiences I had where I didn't see anything, those were still real experiences.
Sure. Sure.
So I do Bigfoot research, and I have never seen a Bigfoot, but I know they're real because of all the other information that I have and the sense that I have of them. So...
And that would be a whole other topic for another show. It would be very, Yeah, but it'll be very interesting because I think there's a lot of connections there that tie into everything that we're talking about as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Doreen Fisher. A big thank you to her for sharing her experiences on today's program. And thank you to you for supporting the show and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without it. Until next time for The Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Thank you.